week to study a portion of God's Word and to pray together. And we ask tonight, if you would, to please take your Bible, turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We want to read, if we may, beginning in verse 51. While you're turning there, I want to speak tonight about the victory that you and I have tonight. I want you to know tonight that if you're saved by the grace of God, you're not a loser, you're a winner. And we have the victory. So we can rejoice in what God has done for us. Praise Him, serve Him, tell others about Him and His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 51 said this, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." In case I forget later, if you've been troubled with arthritis or illness of any kind or another, we won't have that anymore one day. It'll be all over with. We'll get a new body one day. Thank God for that. It'll be a body fashioned after the body of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God promised that to us. So Paul writes in verse 52, "In a moment," he says, "in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Bear in mind, beloved, he's writing to save people. And so he's writing to people like you and I, and the promises that he made to the church of Corinth are our promises tonight as well. He said, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." What wonderful promises we have. And if we had a title tonight, I want us to think in this term, or these terms, the final victory. We go through life, you and I. We have some good days and we have some bad days. We have some, what we might consider some defeats in life. And then we have some days where we might say, well, we came out a winner. But I tell you what, one day we're going to experience the the best victory we could have. I get it right yet. So this chapter begins with some statements which contain the gospel. Let's go back to verse 1. And I like to think about this. I don't know about you, but every now and then I like to think of what the end is going to be like. And beloved, tonight, as I stand before you tonight, I'm made to be conscious of the fact that we're so close to the end. It's time, and the Lord could come back tonight for us. And we could go home to be with the Lord. And this old body that we have that sometimes has to have surgery or sometimes has aches and pains and everything else, We won't need that anymore because one day we're going to get a new body. And it's promised to us. And it's all by the grace of God. Verse 1, chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. The gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you don't get anything out of this tonight, remember this tonight. Our Savior is alive. We don't worship a dead Savior tonight. We worship one who lives tonight. And our Bibles, yours and mine, tell us that because He lives, we shall live also. And we'll evermore dwell with Him one day in glory. How that ought to cheer us tonight and strengthen us in our conviction and our walk for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached, or what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. This isn't something that Paul wrote, you know, and gave to the church of Corinth. Not just that. But what he wrote to them, he believed as well. And it wasn't something he was speculating about, because the Spirit of God moved upon him to write these words. And you and I know that as we read in our Bibles, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable to us. So he said unto you, or unto us, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Some people tell us, when you witness to them or talk to them about whether or not they're saved, I say, I hope so. I'm trying to live the best way I know how. But I tell you what, it's not, are you asking them if they're living good enough? You're asking them if they've been saved and repented and trusted in Jesus Christ. So he said, in that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now listen, anybody rises from the grave is not dead. He's alive. And our Savior is alive tonight. And He's alive, and one day soon He's going to come back and get us and take us home to be with Him. And we can rejoice in that tonight. When we look for hope and plans and aspirations in this world and in this life, I'm not looking for a new president to come along and help us. I'm looking for my Savior to come back and take us. And we've got a promise that He's going to come back for us. And I really believe. Now, it could be another 10 years. It could be 100 years or more, 1,000 years. But I'm looking because I believe He could come back at any moment. And so as I look at this tonight, as we look at this, back in verse 3, he said that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Our Savior was crucified. And it was a horrible death. It wasn't an easy thing for us to be saved. He laid down His life that you and I and those yet that we pray for and are concerned about, that they too might be saved and have the life that you and I enjoy tonight. And as we do, there are three truths involved in this I want to share with you real quickly here. Christ actually died. You say, I know that. That's old. But I like to be reminded what He did for me. I like to thank Him for what He did for us. And I rejoice in that. It was not a mere trance, as somebody would tell you or write about and speculate about what happened and would have you believe. It was an actual death. The Bible said He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He died that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. It was a vicarious or substitutionary atoning death. It was necessary so that you and I could be saved. And then he died for our sins according to the scriptures. The Bible clearly and in detail, as we read it, tells us about what took place, how it was foretold in the scriptures, and in detail foretold his substitutionary and atoning death. And he shed his precious blood that we could be saved. And the second fact is found for us again in verse number 4. Notice that. And that he was buried. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He died and was buried according to the scriptures. And the Bible, the scriptures, if you will, testified that he would be buried. And it literally took place. The fourth fact, he arose from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the borrowed tomb. Now some, believe me tonight when I say, when we die, we have a grave. Our loved ones select a grave and bury us there. It becomes our grave, if you will. We're laid to rest there. But one day, because of the grace of God, one day, if you're saved, the Lord will come back and call us up to meet him in the air, and we're coming forth from the grave in a new body. A body fashioned after the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we have something to rejoice in and shout about because of the grace of God. We're not speculating, beloved. The Word of God teaches us these things. Raised from the grave, he was visible to men. They saw him, recognized by men and identified by men. And I remember when I say those words that I'm reminded of his promise, because I live, ye shall live also. Say, oh, you're just guessing. No, I'm not. This precious book tells me so. And I tell you what, it pays to believe what God's word has to say. In verses 5 through 8, Paul goes on to tell of his numerous appearances. He was seen by others. This wasn't something that someone said, I think I saw him over here, or I think I saw him across the road. People had seen him. Let's quickly look at these verses. And that he was seen of Cephas in verse 5, and then of the 12. They saw him. Cephas saw him. Simon Peter saw him. And after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, or this present day that he was writing this. But some are fallen asleep. Some have gone home to be with the Lord. They died. If Jesus tarries, we also will die. And then one day he'll bring us up out of that grave and call us up to meet him in the air. And the Bible tells us we're going to get a new body. We won't need any stents. We won't need any bypass surgery. We won't need any help at all from doctors any longer, because that body's going to be fashioned after his body, and we won't have any illness anymore. We're going to be with Jesus. We're going to be like him. And we can rejoice in this. And he said then, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. I tell you what, you might say, preacher, why are you preaching this tonight? I'm preaching it because we have victory in Jesus Christ. When I look about me in the world tonight, I don't see that. When I look in my Bible, it speaks to me of victory, doesn't it, to you? And we have victory tonight because we've trusted God's Son as our Lord and Savior, if you will. And from what we read in the Bible, God's Word is just jam-packed full of promises that God has made to us. Christ appeared 12 times to his disciples. The Bible tells us he was seen of over 500 brethren at once. And then secondly, the doctrine of his resurrection, and the resurrection of the dead is the foundation of Christianity. And we're not talking about speculation. We're not talking about hoping. We're not talking about guessing. We're talking about victory tonight. Victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. What we have in him tonight. This chapter that we've chosen as our text tonight, or felt God would have us to study together tonight, this chapter speaks of the importance of his resurrection and the promises that it assures for us, that he's made to us, if you will. In verses 12 through 19, the Bible said, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" You ever had someone tell you that? I have. Some people say, "Oh, you don't know that." I do know that, don't you? And the reason I know that tonight, beloved, is because he promised that to us. And my Bible tells me God cannot lie. And he assures us of what he's promised to us tonight. And so tonight, if you're saved by the grace of God, he's promised this to you. And we're going to have this. Look in verse 13. "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?" But that can't be so, because he was seen of all these people after he came forth from the tomb. Isn't that so? He's alive. And so he's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He's interceding for us tonight. And we can approach the very throne of grace in prayer tonight in his name. And there we have that assurance. And in verse 14, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Notice that. He said, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised?" Let me tell you something, beloved. I have, in this life, had several friends that had like precious faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, just as you and I have. And they went out into eternity with that faith in Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. And their promise is that one day the Lord's coming back to call them up from the grave as well. You and I have that tonight. We couldn't earn it. We can't deserve it. But that's where grace comes in, the unmerited favor of God. We have that tonight. He said, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." No hope for them. If what the world would tell us tonight, if all of this were true, and we don't have the promise because it's just something someone wrote and I'm speaking from tonight, then we don't have that. But we have it tonight. We don't have to guess. I don't have to apologize for this. This is God's word. And God cannot lie. And what God said, beloved, tonight is the truth. Verse 19, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." I'm going to jump ahead of myself just for a moment. But let me say this. There are people tonight that doubt. You might be here tonight and doubt what I'm saying. But God's word is true. And the Bible assures us of it. And God cannot lie. And the Bible tells us so. And they deny the risen Christ. So Paul began preaching to them, in effect, "Believe what I'm saying, because it's the truth. And it assures you of this." He said, "If what I'm telling you is not true, then all my preaching is vain. All faith in what is preached is in vain. And all the apostles were false witnesses, because every one of them testified that Christ rose from the dead, and they saw him. And their faith was in Jesus Christ." Now, if my opinion... It's my opinion that a whole lot of people are miserable today. They don't have what you have. or they don't have what we have, because they don't believe the truth of the Bible, of God's Son's death and resurrection, our Savior. So we don't worship a dead Savior tonight. He's alive. Verses 20 and 21, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die. If Jesus tarries, one day we're going out and we're going to go home to be with the Lord. And our bodies will go to the grave and we'll await the resurrection. But in the meantime, we're going to be home with the Lord, awaiting that resurrection day. And he said, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now just imagine that. All made alive. I'm not looking at dead people tonight. If you're saved, you're alive tonight in Christ Jesus. And we're not, and I know I'm repeating myself tonight, but I'll tell you what. It's not speculation, it's the truth, because it's in the Word of God. So as I look at this tonight and see it, victory. There's an old song I love to sing. We haven't sung it for a while, but it's called Victory in Jesus. And that's what we have tonight. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy tonight of our praise. And he's the only one that can save our loved ones that are lost on the other side without Jesus as their personal Savior. They need to trust him because he's the only answer. He's the only hope. We should not live as if we're defeated when tonight we have victory. I rejoice in that tonight. So there's not only that, but in addition, we have victory over death. Look again in verses 55 and 56. Listen to what he said here. O death, where is thy sting? Where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? When we go out into eternity, if Jesus tarries, it's just for a while. This soul and spirit will go home to be with the Lord. Isn't that so?
That's right.
Awaiting the day when we get a new body fashioned after his body. He said, the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But I'm talking tonight to you, if you're saved, I'm talking to people who have victory tonight. Because he says tonight, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can rejoice in this tonight. We don't have to leave here and have our chins down like this and feel so miserable and everything else, because we have victory tonight. We're winners tonight, not losers, if you will. And so as we see it, it's uncertain. None of us know when it will come, but it's going to happen. One day he's going to call us, and we're going up to meet him in the air, and we're going to join him up there in glory. Our soul and spirit may go sooner, but one day we'll have a new body fashioned like his body. And so the sting of death or sting of sin was conquered by the crucified Christ. He took care of that for us. His sacrifice for us at Calvary took care of that. Are we losers? No, we're winners. I know I'm repeating myself in that as well, but I rejoice in just thinking about that. Amen. We have victory. We have victory. It what makes death terrible to the unsaved is sin. People who want to doubt what I'm saying tonight, that I'm speculating tonight, what makes them be miserable is sin. Sin has got hold of them, if you will. It causes the sting. And if we know that sin has been put away by the atoning sacrifice and blood of God's Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, then the sting of death is gone. What about sin? What about sin? I'm going to quit in just a few moments. But let's think about it for a moment. Let's go back over to Romans 5:12 with me, if you will. Romans 5:12. Think about sin just for a moment. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, Adam sinned, and we inherited a sin nature. And in order to have our sins forgiven, because the Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, in order to have our sins forgiven, we must be saved by the grace of God. We must be born again. And as we say, I know all this. But you see, by one man's disobedience to God, by one man's disobedience to God, Adam entered into the world. And he said over here, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible tells us in another place, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But we can rejoice tonight in that we've been forgiven and we have the victory. We have indeed the victory through the grace of God. By one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, sin was conquered. The God-man did so. And righteousness was made possible for all of us who've trusted in him. And the strength of sin is God's law. And the law exposes sin. And when we sin, there isn't one of us who's not exposed to God, and God sees what we've done. He knows what we've done. He knows when we sin. He knows that we're guilty of our sins, if you will. And it takes the blood of Christ to cleanse us from it. You know this. The only reason I'm saying these things tonight is I've been led of the Lord to preach this, but also we've got a lot to be thankful for tonight. We can rejoice tonight because we have the assurance of God of what we have tonight by his wonderful grace and through the sacrifice of his Son. And I rejoice in this tonight. So, and the dread consequences, I should say, of sin is revealed to us in the Bible. Where would we be tonight if we were still lost without the Lord Jesus Christ? Would we be in God's house tonight? I'd say some of us wouldn't be. But look what we have tonight, because he cares. By the obedience then of Jesus unto God has provided for us a means whereby we can be forgiven. I don't know about you, but I don't get over that. I don't try to put it on the back burner. I like to be reminded of it, what God's done for us. And I realize tonight, maybe you do as well, that I'm not worthy of this. But yet God has bestowed that upon us because he loved us, the Bible tells us, when we were unlovable. But thanks be to God, we can have the final victory today, tonight. We have it. I'm not guessing tonight, beloved. When I leave here tonight, I'm going home. I'm either going home with Nancy tonight, or I'll go home to be with the Lord. If you're saved tonight, when you leave here tonight, you're going home. You're either going home to where you dwell here in the Mount Morris or Flint area, or you'll go home to be with the Lord. And we can be comforted by this. We can be assured by it. And when I hear politicians make promises and everything else, all they're doing is speculating. I would to God they'd keep their promises if they were able to. But what I rejoice in tonight is that every promise my God and my Savior has made to you and I, he's keeping, he has kept, or he shall keep. And it's not something I have to guess at, and it's not something that you have to guess at. That's what makes this so wonderful. That's what makes me rejoice, And that's what lets us know that we have the victory. That's what makes it so wonderful tonight. You watch a football game or you watch some sporting event of some kind, and the team that you were rooting for loses, they didn't win. But if you're saved tonight, you've won. You've got the victory. We have victory. And so in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Lord's going to come back, call us up to meet him in the air and give us a new body one day. It'll be a body fashioned after his body. It won't have any aches and pains. I won't need any bypasses in my new body. Brother, you won't need any stents. And we can rejoice in this. We don't have to be downhearted and downcast because it's going to be different one day. I won't have a need for surgery for an aneurysm. I'm going to have a new body one day, and it'll be well taken care of. And God has provided that for us and promises that to us, if you will. We're going to be changed. Those things that we do and those things that sometimes we might think or say, they're going to go away. They're not going to be there anymore. And we're going to be home. Finally, at home. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe tonight why I was bringing this brief lesson tonight is because I've got much to be thankful for, and you have as well. We can rejoice tonight in what he's done for us. And so tonight, let me read, and we're in Romans. Look over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 30 with me, if you would. Let me just share this verse with you, if I may. Notice the steps here and what happened when he saved us and what he's going to do for us. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Just imagine a glorified body one day. If you take pills for pain, you're not going to need them anymore. You won't have those aches and pains anymore. If you had to take something because you've got to keep your heart doing what it's supposed to do, I won't need that anymore. And you won't need it anymore. And we can rejoice in that, can't we? Victory tonight! Victory, if you will. Marvel not that the world hates you because it can't stand what you and I have tonight. It wants to get to a better place one day, its way. But you and I are going to get there because of God's way. And I rejoice in that tonight. I don't go home with my chin hanging down. I don't go home because it's raining hard outside and everything else with my chin hanging down. But I'm going home tonight happy, rejoicing. Because I've got a Savior. And I'm rejoicing for you because you have one as well if you've trusted Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God. So Jesus said, marvel not that the world hateth you because it hated me before it hated you. And so as we close this thought, may we all remember we have victory tonight. See, I don't have anything to be happy about. I tell you what, if you're saved, you do. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. We have that tonight. I didn't earn it. I can't earn it. And you know what? You didn't earn it. And if you're here tonight and lost without Jesus Christ, you can't earn it. We must trust him. If you're lost, trust him tonight. He'll save you by his grace and mercy. I rejoice tonight. And if you're saved tonight, you ought to rejoice. And we can be thankful for what God has done for us. Do you have that tonight? If you do, let's all of us leave here happy tonight and rejoicing in what God has done.
think sometimes people speculate about all this, but we don't have to speculate. We can just simply trust what God tells us, because He's promised it to us in His Word. Let's stand, if you will.